Good evening, everyone. Let the record indicate that the Warwick City Council Finance Committee meeting is called to order at 5 p.m. I just want to let everyone know that Councilman Napper will not be able to attend the Finance Committee meeting this evening as he has a personal issue that he is dealing with. So to start off, I'm looking for approval for the minutes of the Finance Committee agenda from December 1st. We have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. I need a motion on the acceptance of the minutes held on November 17th on the consent calendar, please.
Move favorable action.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. And we will start with item number 1, 2024-385, found on page 1. That is for street improvements. Good evening, Christy.
Good evening.
Actually, still afternoon, I guess.
Yeah, right. It's, even though it's dark out. Public Works is requesting to increase the cap on the bid for the street improvements in the amount of $1,500,000. And the contract does not expire until April 25th, 2026.
Okay, thank you, Christy. Any questions for members of the committee? Councilman Muto.
Hi, Christy.
Hi.
The increase, do we have streets that are targeted to be used for this $1.5 million?
The majority of these funds will be used to cover the invoices that we're expecting for the roads that they just finished recently for this paving season. And then the remainder of the funds, which is around $500,000, is for roads that we are doing in the spring under the ones that we submitted to RIDOT for reimbursement. They reimburse us one third of what we spend. So those are the roads that that we're targeting to do in the spring.
Okay, so just a little clarification. So when we paved these roads, we paved them without the increase in approval. So we need this 1.5 for work that we've already done.
Yes. Except for some of it has already been done. The reason there was there's a couple different pots of money, so to speak. We get reimbursements from the gas company. We get reimbursements from RIDOT for some roadways. So that we just paid a few invoices for both vendors that we utilize. They were both given a list of roadways that we needed to do back in the spring, you know, and then they would be given some more, you know, over the summer and that. So when it came down to it, you know, on my conversation with engineering, we did overspend the cap on the bid, but we do have the funds to pay for it.
Okay. Thank you, Councilman. Christy, what's left in that paving account right now?
There's around, I want to say, $3.5 million. We just deposited as well a large sum of money from the gas company, which was around $595,000.
A large amount of money from who, please?
the gas company, Rhode Island Energy.
Okay. And when one of the members of the city council, when we send in a request to have a street repaved or completely redone, excuse me, or a portion of a street repaved, how is that processed in the hopper?
I'm going to defer your question actually to Eric.
Sure.
To answer that one for you.
Hi, Director.
Hello, Eric Earls, Public Works. So what we look at first, if there are any utility conflicts, you know, a lot of times what Rhode Island Energy is replacing now are all their bare steel mains. And we have an old map that they provided to us about probably like 8 or 10 years ago, but it shows what their infrastructure was like back then. And we can cross-reference that with new work that they've done and see whether or not the roads have bare steel mains in them. And that's kind of the first step. And that, unfortunately, that's true in a lot of cases. Then we'll talk to the other utilities, you know, water, sewer, and see if they have plans for certain roads. And if those utilities clear, then it becomes a matter of funding. And then there are other aspects like, you know, traffic volume, you know, bigger roads with more traffic volume are more a priority than side streets. But ultimately, you know, we take our recommendation and we bring it to the mayor's office and say, hey, you know, Councilman X has requested this road. It cleared all the utilities. There is available funding. What are your thoughts? And then ultimately, it's the mayor's decision.
Okay, because I'm not speaking for all of my colleagues. I'm sure everyone has their own issues with regards to paving. I know that I have at least one area. It's probably going on 4 years or more that I've requested to have this section repaved. With that said, when one of the members of the city council turn in a road or section of road to get repaved or repaired, would it be possible to at least get back to us with some sort of an anticipation regarding time so that we can get back to our constituents as opposed to just sending them an email and saying, I've asked DPW or the administration to get this road paved and have not heard back from them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we might not be able to say, you know, when we're going to pave it, but we can certainly explain why we're not going to, if that's the case, right? And a lot of times we will. We'll respond saying, you know, this road has a bare steel gas pan in it. Bare steel is what Rhode Island Energy is currently replacing. And hopefully, you know, that message gets conveyed to, you know, the council person, subsequently the constituent. But yeah, that's typically how we respond. If it gets lost somewhere else in there, then, you know, I don't know what happens sometimes when it kind of clears several hurdles. Other times it's a matter of funding, and then it's a more difficult response, or the time of the year we get the request, it might get lost in the shuffle. But for the most part, we try and answer those questions so that, you know, council people can have an educated response when they go back to the constituents.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll follow up with you on some of those locations. All right. Anything else from, yes, Councilman Muto. Oh, I'm sorry. Councilman DeLuise, sorry.
I thought you forgot my name for a second. Thank you, Chairman. Eric, I think that Councilman Lattiser is referring to, we have a lot of requests, people, storm drains, and the way that certain streets are paved, that they pitch towards people's property and they get flooded. So I have a question. What processes do we have to go through to have like a berm put in front of, because I sent pictures to Councilman Lattiser. It's the same person. The street was paved, and all the water floods. When it rains, it floods her garage. So how difficult is it to have a like a berm or some kind of a barrier placed in front of that property? Is that a long process or?
No, I mean, typically when we turn up, when we instruct a paving company to pave a road, their directive is to replace in kind, right? So they mill an inch and a half off and they put an inch and a half back. Any drainage issues that arise after that probably were also there before that, because all they did was take an inch and a half off and put an inch and a half back. One of the weird things that does happen is in some locations when the road is really broken up, it actually will allow water to infiltrate. And when we pave it, that no longer happens, right? Right. So sometimes you see that. But as far as the berm, if there is a berm there now, they will replace the berm. If it's something that needs to be installed, then we will typically, you know, walk it with them and figure out where it might be necessary. But again, their typical directive is to, you know, replace in kind. So if you have areas where it's a concern, we can certainly address that during paving, but it's also the kind of thing that we can address inside with our own. We have a berm machine, so we can go and put that down after the fact as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Ricks, go ahead.
Thank you. When it comes to dry wells, would repairing, adding, basically any kind of work on a dry well, is that also relating to the asphalt budget, or would that be a different line item?
The contractors that are paving would not install that. That's something that we typically do in-house, and ideally we would do it before they pave. But yeah, it's in dry wells are certainly no silver bullet. You know, anybody who understands the technology, I mean, there's a finite volume, right? It's an opening in the asphalt that goes to a couple pipes and then it infiltrates. You get one of those hard, fast storms, that's going to fill up and you get a puddle. But what it allows to do is it gives a conduit for the water to eventually, you know, drain. And what we shoot for is typically 72 hours. That's kind of the stormwater standard. So if there's no puddle in 72 hours, then that's kind of what we look at as gauge as success.
Yeah, and from years on the city council, I don't claim to have any kind of engineering background, but just about any type of flood that's really bad, it's rare to see one still standing after 72 hours. Unless, of course, it's actually frozen. I won't get into, you know, any great detail with this, but I'm just reminded of a few areas where I've been putting in requests for, I think the full 9 years. May not have sent in a request every single year. Other times, set in multiple requests during a given year. But I think it's fair to say it's understandable how it can happen. There's a great need for funding for paving the roads, this type of maintenance. Some of it has to do with the presence of dry wells that have been there for many decades, limitations on those. So I'll leave it at that, and I'll make sure to follow up on those particulars. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Muto.
Thank you. Director, just a clarification question. In the paperwork, it says anticipated dollars. Do we know for a fact that's the dollars we're going to get, or could it sway? So if we give you the authority of $1.5 million and we only get, I'm just making this up, $1.2 million, do you still have the spending authority at 1.5, or can, is it just using that money that is that we will be getting reimbursed for?
So we have funding available to us to spend. Yes, we can spend the 1.5 million. And we're still have, you know, there's more reimbursements to be billed, right out wires. There's, I'm not, I did request one a week or so ago. I'm not sure if that's come through yet or not. So, we have more than enough money to pay with the 1.5 million that we're asking for tonight, including what has just recently been finished.
Okay. And that money is allocated in which budget?
There's an expense code and there's a revenue code. The expense code is the 401-0401 listed on the bid document. That's where the expenses come from. The reimbursements go into a different 401 code.
Awesome. One last comment. We will be coming up on budget season faster and sooner than we'd like. At least for the first year sitting on the council, this always seems to be a hot button for a lot of council people. Wonder if we can make a request to have your team or the administration educate us as to that process, the ins and outs of it.
I would suggest, checking with the administration on how that would happen, whether I would, obviously they would spearhead that, so.
Okay. Administration? You'll look at, when you say look at it, mean get it on the schedule and make it work? Yep. Just love your commitments. All right. We'll keep pushing. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions from members of the council? Councilman Ricks, is your light still on? Or? Okay, thank you. Any comments or questions from members of the public? Any comments from members of the public? Hearing none, we will move on to item number 2, 2026-163, found on page 5, design services for Patuxent Park.
Good evening, Tom Kravitz, City Planning Director. This is some more good work done by Dean in the office. He obtained a grant, Oscar grant from DEM. It's a $193,000 grant, and there's no match required on the city's behalf. So we really like those, and it'll be going towards the design permitting of Patuxent Park, which involves reconstruction of a seawall, improvements to the canoe launch, the parking lot, new play area, and we awarded it to Landworks, who scored the highest, and we're just looking for the council's endorsement here to get going with Landworks.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Councilman Foley, I believe this is in your ward.
Yes, sir. This has been an ongoing process. I think when I first came on 5 years ago, they reached out right away asking the city for any assistance. So this is basically step one or two with the just a basic design or what can be done and should be done.
Yeah. When I started, actually, this was our first public workshop with the public. Dean and I hosted in the evening, and we got a lot of input from the community up there. That came, and Dean had a number of different options. So we were trying to lay some groundwork and get some ideas from which Landworks will now work off of that. So Landworks has to have a number of public meetings as well. And we'll kind of refine and check if this is still larger the way the neighborhood would like to see this going. We want to make sure we're going in the right direction with it. So it's a good project.
And then if the request for proposals comes back or they look at a project and they come up with a plan, the next step would be to go back out trying to find funds to make those improvements.
Yeah, ultimately, this gets us to the point where we've got a completely 100% design project with bid specs permitted, and it's something tangible that we can actually bid to the construction community. So when that time comes, that'll be, well, this runs through to late May of 27, I think. So hopefully we'll be, we can try to get more grant funds from DEM to go towards the construction. You know, we'll have to search for more money. But once we bid it and we know what that number is going to be, we can hunt for more funds, grant funds.
Thank you.
Yep.
Hi, Director.
Hi.
I don't really have a question, just a comment. This is a, like you said, this is a great project, and looking forward to supporting projects like this in my fellow councilman's wards, but also throughout the city. My only comment also would be to, I know we still need to design and find the money to build, but when we have projects like this, we should also consider the maintenance and the long-term maintenance and build that into the process so we're not always reactive. So as we're going through projects like this, a little more sophistication, a little more development, especially near the shoreline. Shoreline is always very challenging, is if we can have a maintenance plan, that's some type of maintenance plan that's built into this. So it doesn't get ruined in 5 years.
The point's well taken.
Thank you, Councilman. As Councilman Muto said, I also believe that this is a really good project, necessary project too. I'm happy with a few things. One is that there's no matching funds. That's always nice. The other thing that I find encouraging is that you received 10 bids for this item. I think that's very encouraging. The numerous questions that I have on this, it says in one of the, well, it's on page 9, it's one of 7 from Landworks. It says playground and recreational areas introduce a new inclusive playground. What is that?
And family-oriented amenities. Yeah, I see the one you're looking at. Inclusive of, you know, has to be ADA compliant, for example. That's an inclusive action. You don't want to exclude certain populations from playground equipment.
Okay. I also note in here the efforts of getting the community advocacy involved in this too. And you know, I'm happy to see that as well. It says here in phase one, initial meeting with city staff to review existing conditions, documentation, including site survey. What is the site survey?
That would be any professional land surveyor documents that exist, so we can see exactly where the perimeter property line is. And your main concern there is trying to resolve any encroachments that may be happening. That's really what that's speaking to.
Okay. On page 10 of our document, it's task 1.2, stakeholder design updates. Provide updated design and support documents to the city for review with the mayor and city administrators. Who are the city administrators?
That'll be probably Dean from my office.
Be who, please?
Dean Pimentel. Okay. From my office, and we'll likely involve DPW as well.
In phase two, geotechnical investigation, this is for surface exploration, I believe. What were the findings on that initial assessment of this site?
Well, as it says there on the deliverables, a memorandum with summary of findings, recommendations for play foundations, civil infrastructure, earthwork, and slope stabilization. So that's speaking to, of course, the playground site and the foundations that must that are associated with that. Civil infrastructure is going to relate to drainage that they need to do there and the ability to infiltrate water and what type of systems they may go with. That'll also help us determine cost. I'm not sure if there's ledge in that area or not, but they're going to be looking for stuff like that. and slope stabilization, that's going to get more to the seawall that they need to reconstruct. I suspect they're going to do several borings in that area to see what type of system is most appropriate based on the subsurface condition.
That was one of the other questions that I had. Conduct a visual inspection from land of the existing seawall. So how much are they able to determine with respect to the condition of the seawall looking at it from land? I mean, do they actually have access to the water surface of this wall to make decisions now, as opposed to coming up in 6 months from now and saying, we got to rebuild the whole wall?
You know, I wish I had an engineer with me to really answer that question. I don't know exactly what they can determine from visual inspection, but I know that CRMC is going to be front and center in approving anything that they prescribe as a remedy. But I really can't tell you, you know, aside from what you can see, obviously, right, they're not going to do subsurface investigation with, you know, underwater. I guess you can see a lot with low tide, too, I suppose. But I don't have a real good answer for you as to what exactly they're looking at, you know.
Well, I think it's, I guess the better question is, with having conducted or conducting a visual inspection, are there any potential concerns with the integrity of this wall?
I'm sure that's what they're looking for, areas of subsidence and depressions. But I just can't say for sure, not being in the business myself, and I'm not a civil engineer, but
right.
Obviously in the field analysis is important to confirm any kind of findings you may think you see from mapping, you know?
Okay. It also says here, assess environmental permitting requirements. Has EPA been contacted with regards to this?
No, not EPA.
Will it be necessary for EPA to be contacted?
Certainly CRMC, perhaps Army Corps. I'm not sure on EPA.
Because with environmental permitting requirements, that, that includes a whole lot of stuff, right? It includes air quality, water resources, stormwater runoff, wetlands, hazardous waste, endangered species, environmental impact, et cetera, et cetera. Are these issues or these items, have they been addressed?
It's part of this scope to vet that out,
to get that done. Okay.
It is a comparative to other seawalls. This is not a huge seawall, so I'm not envisioning, you know, a full environmental impact statement. But that's their job to identify what exactly is going to be needed and by which agency. So
now we have in here a guaranteed maximum price. So the reason for the questions that I've been asking is to ensure that we're protected.
Yeah.
with regards to that guaranteed maximum price, should anything develop or be discovered with the seawall, or with there could be, you know, an environmental issue, et cetera. If those things are discovered as this project moves forward, who bears the cost of that? And assuming that there will be or could be additional costs, how is the city going to be impacted? Is that monies that we're getting now with no match, is that something that would be increased?
No, we would have to reevaluate what we're doing here if it's going to go above $193,000.
Okay.
I think that's even stated in the contract with DEM at the end of this. I'm pretty sure. It's an amount not to exceed. This is very similar to what we're dealing with the dredge project, too, near Oakland Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working through that right now. That's very clear. We made it clear to them from you. It's not going to exceed the $3 million there. This won't exceed the $193,000.
Yeah, no, they do refer to the guaranteed maximum price. But as we've seen with other projects, what happens to a guaranteed maximum price?
Yeah, it's at section 2 in the agreement with DEM.
In the exclusions and to scope of service.
What page is that?
On page 13. It's item number 3, exclusions to scope of service. It says, owner shall provide base information and services as required for performance of the work, including typographic, utility, boundary survey, et cetera, et cetera. Has this been done as yet?
I'm not sure. That would be a Dean question. That's part of the records review. Any plans that we do have on file, we would have to provide for them. But yeah, civil, structural. They do have Fuss and O'Neill as one of their primary subs. And that their base fee is $111,000. So I'm sure if they need information, they're able to generate it if we don't have it. Things like topography and whatnot.
Okay. Does the city get an E&O policy from Landworks?
A what policy?
Errors and omissions.
I'm sure that's in their professional contract. That's standard for professional services contracts.
Well, the reason I'm asking is because in under those exclusions to scope of service, it says Landworks Studio shall be indemnified from any claim in regard to the soil quality uncovered or imported to the project, no known soil contamination, environmental use, etc. So if they're looking for us to indemnify them, I would think that we should also be sure that we have an E&O policy protecting us on our end for perhaps something they've missed or overlooked.
It's funny, it does say uncovered or imported for the project. Some of this exclusions seems to be speaking to construction activity too. Which if that were the case, I can see why this is written that way. If and when we get to the point of construction, obviously any material coming into the site would have to be tested and approved by, you know, CRMC or whoever the jurisdictional authority is.
So you agree that the city should also be protected from errors and omissions on their part, right?
From a design perspective, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, the next section there does, the next sentence does actually speak to the, any required remediation would be undertaken during the construction phase. So they are kind of speaking to the construction phase of this too.
The late charge that they speak to for balances over 60 days past due, they are requesting or including 1.5% per month interest, where statutory interest is statewide is 12%. This 18%, is that something that the city is agreeing to? And if so, is the city completely confident that there will be no reason for them to extend over the 60 days?
Yeah, we pay. This is a reimbursatory program from DEM to the city. So we have to front the money, right? And then we get reimbursed at the end of the project. We've never gone beyond 30 days to pay invoices. I don't anticipate it being an issue.
Okay. And they have a clear understanding about how we get reimbursed, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And the arbitration, I know this is something that comes up often in my world. What is the reason why arbitration would take place in Boston as opposed to taking place here in Rhode Island? Is it because the contractor is from Boston? Yeah. As opposed to the work is actually being done here in Rhode Island?
Yeah, it's a good question. I can't see
arbitration
why.
Arbitration in Boston is much different than arbitration in Rhode Island.
I can run that by legal prior to execution. I think this had come up once before in a different professional contract where it was asked to be changed to Rhode Island and it was changed. You need a certificate to do business in Rhode Island, so it's, yeah.
Yeah, I'd appreciate it if you would follow up with legal counsel on that, because that certainly could be an issue at some point. Hopefully it will never get to that, but if it does, it could be a problem. This is just a like a kind of a detail type question, I guess. It says, the guarantee may commence performance of this agreement on June 27th, 2025. What does may commence performance mean?
What page are you on?
I'm on page 16. This is on the CRMC, Rhode Island Infrastructure Bank.
Oh, the grant agreement.
It's at the last paragraph on page 16. The guarantee may commence performance of this agreement on June 27th, 2025. What does performance mean?
Yeah. Begin the project.
The beginning of the project.
That's what I think, yeah.
Well, I asked that because the actual documents were signed by the mayor on June 26th. And does that affect anything that has to do with this terminology?
Yeah, no, the grant agreement's going to come first, and we secure those grant funds first. And that's simply why that kind of, you're going to see dates like this that are much older, of course, than where we are tonight. We have to go through the effort of even procuring the professional service, and it just takes time. So I think the more important time, as long as we get it done before May 31st or 27, that would be the one that concerns me more. to make sure if we need to extend this, the state will let us do it.
Okay, I just wanted to be sure that we weren't in some type of a conflict with that language. This is something we already spoke about. Maximum grant amount, the total amount available to be reimbursed to the guarantee of the bank completion shall not exceed $193,000. So that's where we had all of this conversation prior. If there's anything that develops that is going to increase the cost over $193,000, that becomes a whole new issue, right?
Everything stops at that point.
Okay.
And we're going to have conversations with, you know, DEM, the professional contractor. Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to see this turn into another school issue is where I'm getting at.
Chair, you have 1 minute.
Thank you. Reporting. It's found on page 17, bottom paragraph. Rhode Island Coastal Resource Management Council, in coordination with the bank, shall serve as lead agency responsible for the administration of the award. The guarantee will be required to submit semi-annual reports that are compliant with Rhode Island general laws. Who is the designee for the city required to submit these reports?
That'll be Dean.
Dean, yeah. Okay. So pretty much any of these recording activities, et cetera, that'll all be under Dean's control.
Right. Okay. Dean Pimentel from the planning department.
Okay. Okay, Director, thank you for answering all those questions. They weren't asked to be a pain in the butt, but they were asked so that we don't end up in a similar situation with, or I should say, as other construction projects are taking place. It's a really good project. I'm really happy to see that the grant was here, and especially the fact that there's no match. So thank you. Thank you for having those answers, but do get back to us on that legalese issue on the arbitration, please. Mm. Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Are there any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, we will move on to item number three. I'm sorry. Yeah, we're in the under 50 items. Does anyone on the committee have any items they would like to have pulled out?
I do not.
Councilman Muto.
The pipeline 2026.
Are you reading my notes?
No.
Okay. Anything else?
Not necessarily.
Councilman Foley?
I'm done.
Any members of the council have any items that they would like pulled out?
None on this side.
Okay. I am looking to pull out item number four, HVA services for city-owned buildings, found on page 40. I'm looking for number six, delivery of industrial cylinder gases, found on page 58, as well as item number seven, 2026-296, purchase DPF filters, found on page 64. Members of the public, are there any members of the public desiring to have any items pulled out? Any members of the public want anything pulled out? Hearing none, we will move on to Councilman Muto, starting off with item number three, Buttonwoods Avenue. Pipeline replacement, found on page 23.
Great. Thank you, Chair.
You're welcome.
So who is available to answer these questions?
Here we go.
Jerry Willett, Water Division.
Thank you. A couple of couple of questions here when it comes to this particular project. One of the things I didn't notice was the funding sources identified to pay this. Do you have the funding source for this, or
it's coming out of capital?
Coming out of capital. Okay. And one of the items that I noticed was that obviously we have a plan A, plan B, and so forth. One of the issues that was brought up, at least in the documentation, was we may need to go deeper.
Yes.
Can you shed some light as to what some of those factors would be?
The depth that they wanted to go at when they took the original samples came back with boiling sands, which is in, it won't work with the directional drilling. So they're going to go deeper.
And this is to replace an existing water pipeline.
Correct.
Yeah. And how deep is the existing water pipeline?
If I had to guess, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. It's below the harbor, probably 20 feet.
Okay. But what the new drilling is deeper than
correct
the existing. And the reason is just the boiling sand with the equipment used, or is there equipment that is just not available to replace the existing depth of the existing water?
It's the method. In order to directional drill, mm-hmm. we have to go deeper.
Okay. When it comes to plan C, I know plan C is if we need to go deeper. At which point will you reassess the method to install a new pipe? Because we can keep on going deeper and deeper and deeper. And the deeper we go, the more expensive it gets versus the method. Can you share with me the reasoning why we're doing directional drilling versus a method that we're replacing existing pipe?
Cost and permitting. The permit process, this is the cheapest way, most inexpensive way. After this, we're going to have to reevaluate. If there's boiling sands at 85 feet, we're going to have to reevaluate.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Director. I'm going to just step back in time and put a few things in perspective. So this bid for this project of $199,500, this came before us on November 3rd, and it was approved. And it was signed by the mayor on November 4th. Now, you come back to us looking for an additional $31,000. And problem I have just bear with me and I will get to it. Is that on, let me reiterate, in November 3rd, this budget was approved at the request of the department administration for $199,500. It was signed by the mayor on November 4th. In August 2025, borings, this is from Stantec, borings were acquired to a depth of 50 feet, about 40 feet below the waterline. Boring depths were initially determined based on available soil maps, et cetera, et cetera. These fluid deposits shown outside of the project area are indicative that liquefied soils may be present. Directional drilling can be done through sand. However, liquefied soils, which as a liquid, can cause the drill to deflect from the desired depth. This says to me that Stantec knew that that depth of 50 feet was no good in August. It also tells me that in this report, it says Stantec recommends and is requesting three additional borings, two on the Buttonwood side, one on the Strand side of the crossing. The additional costs associated with the three soil borings, which includes Stantec's travel and expense, is $31,000. So why was this presented to us on November 3rd, about 2 months after Stantec had already identified that the borings to 50 feet were inadequate and they would have to go deeper for an extra $31,000. Why wasn't this presented to us, including the $31,000? Or do I misinterpret what I have in front of me?
Kristen Moretti, Public Works. I understand your concern, Councilman, but if you look at the professional services agreement change order on page 25, it's dated November 6th. So this came in 3 days after we made the initial request for this project. And that's when we found out that the borings were not deep enough. It does speak to their August 25, they did borings at a 50-foot depth. It says borings indicated that between 15 and 30 feet below sea elevation are where liquefied soils are occurring. So then in the last 10 feet of borings, which would be the 50-foot mark completed, the borings consistently showed some trace clay, which is desirable for directional drilling. So now it's not 100%. It shows trace clay. So now we have to go down to 85 feet, do the borings, and make sure that that is suitable for the directional drilling. And if it is, then that's the process that we will follow. In the other, they gave a scenario for all the other soil investigations. None of those options are viable for this project based on the soils and as we know, it's very shallow in Brushneck Cove. Excuse me, Buttonwoods Cove.
Christy, I see the dates of November 6th. What I see is that Stantec knew in August of 2025, which was 2 months prior to November 6th, which was 3 days after we voted, they knew about this depth of 50 feet to be wrong, and that it had to go down to perhaps 85 feet. They knew it in August.
Correct.
But why didn't they come to us or come to you long before November 6th to inform the city that, oh, by the way, we knew back in August of 2025 that depth was not going to work. Why didn't they come to you long before August 6th?
So
and include the $31,000 as opposed to 3 days after the meeting send you this change order for $31,000 because we didn't tell you back in August.
So I'm sure that you can appreciate that they're an engineering firm. So there was probably, and it doesn't say exactly what date in August, but the borings were done in August and they got these results. So then if you look at page 28, it proceeds
page,
to-
Page what, please?
28. It continues to indicate additional soil investigations. So they had to go through the process and make their assessments on if any of these other means of laying the pipe were viable in that piece of the cove, which, and they went through and detailed why they're not. So I would imagine that it probably took them a little bit of time to put this report together. I'm sure that they weren't, you know, being, I get the impression that you feel like they were being a bit underhanded coming to us 3 days after with this report, but I would imagine that it took them some time to put this report together and forward it to the city.
Well, if that's the case, then why did the city jump the gun and bring it before us? Why didn't...
Because we needed to get this project before the city council to get approval. We had no idea that 3 days later, this change order was going to come through. So if we don't do the change order, then we don't do the project because we need to find out where is it is suitable to lay the pipe in this cove.
So, yeah, I'm questioning it, absolutely questioning it. When they knew in August 2025 that they weren't able to do this at 50 feet, and they had to get down 80 feet or 85 feet. And they also had a pretty good indication that it was going to cost more money to do it because this isn't the first time they do this. And then it's 3 days after we approve it for $199,500. They come back to us and say, we need another $31,000 to compensate us for something we knew about in August, but the paperwork took a long time to submit to you guys, and you brought it before the city council, and we got it approved for $199,500.
Councilman, I can appreciate your skepticism, but if you look on actually page 36, $20,000 of that money is to actually have the borings done. It's not going to StanTech. It is to pay the contractor to do the borings.
Yeah, I'm glad.
I'm
glad you mentioned that. So, in addition to certainly not being happy with the fact that they knew about something in August and didn't tell us about it until 3 days after it came before this council. And by the way, I'm not being critical of you or your department.
I know, okay? But I think you're, with all due respect, I think you're a little bit stuck on the August that this took place in August.
Yeah,
The borings took place in August. So by the time they got the results from the boring, they did their report and forwarded it to the city. Yes, there was a gap of time, but that doesn't mean that they knew in August and failed to notify the city.
They knew in August. They knew in August. They said it right here in this document. In August 2025, borings were acquired. They had already done the borings down to the depth of 50. They knew they weren't. That wasn't going to work. They knew the soil support wasn't there. They knew that other things as well. Hold on one second.
President would like to have to speak.
Okay.